A very good morning to you. My name is Alex Stevens and I am vicar of the parish of Nork Cuthbert Heath. This sermon comes to you from St Paul's Nork and is one of a series on the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're thinking about Matthew chapter 7, verses 1-6. So far in our Sermon on the Mount series, we've spoken about true happiness, dealing with anger, dealing with sexual temptation, worry, our enemies, and today we talk about dealing with judgment and hypocrisy. If you have a Bible nearby, it would be great if you could keep the passage open in front of you. I'll be following the text quite closely as we continue. So it's Matthew chapter 7, verses 1-6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. It's a phrase we hear in society. It is likely one of the most quoted verses of the Bible. Going back 20 years or so, it used to be John 3:16, but in today's pluralistic culture, where religion is often seen as private and morality can be seen as relative, the verse, "Do not judge or you too will be judged," has taken centre stage. And yet, only a few verses later, in chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus says this, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And then we also have the mysterious verse 6. "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Both of these excerpts show that there are times when we must make judgments. So what is the meaning of today's passage? What is Jesus saying to us for us to apply in our lives today? Well, the kind of judging which Jesus is forbidding is made clear by verse 3. It's hypocritical judging. Jesus isn't talking about sensible and common sense evaluating behaviour, but rather he's talking about the times when we condemn people and look down on others. Jesus does not suggest that we should not make moral judgments, far from it. We must discern right from wrong. We must follow and teach God's commandments. We must proclaim God's loving truth. But Jesus does forbid us from having a critical, judgmental spirit that exalts ourselves whilst looking down on those around us. Now we may be thinking, "I never look down on anybody else." And of course we don't mean to. It's not our intention or our heart's desire. But actually, it's far too easy to do so by accident. What about, for example, when we get behind the wheel of a car? Comedian George Carlin said about driving, "Have you ever noticed that anyone going slower than you is an idiot, and anyone going faster than you is a maniac?" And if it's not driving, for others of us, there'll be an alternative day-to-day situation where we fall into the trap of looking down upon others in a critical and unhelpful or condemning way. So why are we, as it says in verse 1, not to judge others? We're not to judge because we're not qualified for this role. Only God is. We don't know a person's background or history. We don't know how far a person has progressed. We don't know actually anything about another person's motives. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says, "People look to the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We don't know enough about another person to judge them. Only God does. Verse 2 of our passage from today gives us another reason not to judge others in the condemning sense. And that is because God will judge us in the same way as we judge those around us. And with the measure we use, it will be measured to us also. If we are harsh and overbearing to others, then we'll be judged in the same way. If we are loving and merciful towards others, then God will be loving and merciful towards us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." And in verses 3-5 of our passage today, Jesus tells us that we should judge ourselves first, and he uses a humorous illustration which might have come from his background as a carpenter's son to help us. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly quickly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Three times in those three verses, Jesus uses the words "your own." When we concentrate upon our own sins before God, we grow to be far more generous and loving towards other people about their sins. We sometimes have a tendency to magnify the faults of others and minimise or be blind to our own. Sometimes the faults we hate so much in others are those which actually lurk most readily in our own lives. When we point a finger at others, if you look at my hand, if I turn it sideways, there are three fingers pointing back at us. Jesus says we are to judge ourselves first. The reading from today comes just after the end of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus encouraged us in all things to seek first the kingdom of God. We're not to be fault finders, criticising or deriding others. Fault finding is a bit like venom to the soul. It destroys our joy and drains our happiness. It prevents us from having close relationships, which God designed us for. So instead of focusing on others in a fault-finding way every day, we need to be checking our own hearts and motives, always keeping track of where we are with God and asking him to guide us and to reveal our sins. We're to go before God, as it says in Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, saying, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We are to continually be in a position where we repent and seek forgiveness and change before we reach a position where we can help others. It's hypocritical to care about the sin of others more than our own. It's hypocritical because we're appearing to care about the other person, and we really don't. And we need to examine what's going on with us when we seek to help others. Now, seeking to help others and being accountable to each other in the family of God is really important. We need to check ourselves. What's going on? Why are we doing this? Why is it that we care about the other person's sin? Is it truly to help them and bring God glory? Or is it because we want to make ourselves look better? It's hypocritical for any of us to place ourselves in the role of judge, because we all have sins of our own. So we can't help others with their sins until we've first addressed our own ones. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but that would be impossible. But it does mean we have to confront and confess our own sin to God before we even dream about helping others with theirs. That speck in our brother or sister's eye is still to be removed when we're in a position to help with this. Part of truly loving one another, like I said, is being accountable to each other and challenging each other over our sins. But we approach this in a caring way, as family, rather than as judges. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul puts this process like this. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." And Billy Graham said, "It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love." It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and our job to love. Ray Pritchard, who's another Christian speaker and writer, suggests that there is a really simple checklist which helps our approach if we're trying to help each other in our struggles. We're to think, is this conversation really needed? And he uses the mnemonic need to help with this. N, is it necessary? E, will it encourage? E, will it edify? D, will it dignify the other person? N, is it necessary? E, will it encourage? E, will it edify? D, will it dignify the other person? And if the answer to any of those questions is no, then we should probably think again about entering into discussion. Now, the reason Jesus uses the illustration of the eye in this passage is that just as with each of us and our relationships, the eye is enormously precious and sensitive. It takes a compassionate hand and a delicate touch to do eye surgery. When you have eye trouble, you need a doctor who knows what they're doing, because even the slightest mistake can have terrible consequences. Sometimes, in our haste to help others, we can cause more damage than the original speck of dust caused. And we need to be really aware of this and be humble and prayerful, remaining close to God as we proceed. And if we're to follow Jesus' example, who, after telling us the truth about our sins, brought us close and made us his friends, showing in no uncertain terms his love for us, then that's the way we should do it. But what about verse 6? What about those who refuse to be helped? Well, we can't force the gospel on people, and Jesus is warning us that there will be those who will not accept it. When somebody continually and consistently rejects the gospel or our attempts to help them, it's time to move on. It's to be our default position as Christians to bear Jesus' light and to witness to him. But we are to leave those who deliberately refuse the gospel of Jesus to God. Much as when Jesus sends out the disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and tells them that they're not welcome or someone will not listen to their words, if this happens, they're simply to leave that hometown, shaking the dust off their feet as they go. So to summarise, Jesus tells us not to be hypocrites in the way in which we judge others. We're not to judge in a condemning sense because we're not qualified for this role. Only God is. God will judge us in the same way as we judge those around us. If we're harsh and overbearing, then that's what will happen to us. If we're loving and merciful, then he will be loving and merciful towards us. Before we try to help others with their sins, we're to look into our own hearts, removing the plank for our own eye before taking the stick in somebody else's. When we help someone with their sins with which they struggle, we're to check, is it really needed? Is it necessary? Would it encourage? Would it edify? Would it bring dignity? And our hearts in all things are to be full of love. Let's pray as we finish. Loving Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. We pray that you will give us hearts full of love for you and one another. We pray that we will be slow to judge one another and instead full of mercy and kindness. Quick to remember that we are each forgiven sinners, wholly dependent on you.